the Wintrust Business Lunch. You're listening to WGN Radio. Hi, it's John Williams. Pete Zimmerman does all the heavy lifting around here, and I'll stand here and ask some questions to a pretty good lineup of guests. And remember, for those of you that are just joining us or have been listening through the past half hour, when we had a lot of questions about identity theft and IDES here in Illinois, we'll ask Terry Savage to give you more specific advice on what you should have done or what you should be doing to make sure that you don't owe taxes or aren't further victimized by those people out there that are preying on us during the pandemic. That'll be tomorrow when Terry Savage is in. But let's jump right into the amazing news, huh? Pretty good news. John DeJerian joins us, the founder of MarketRebellion.com. Dow up over 30K. What do you think about that, John?
Only the bears are rebelling against the market going over 30,000. It's a good feeling. It really is, John. It's a great recovery from the lows that had the Dow down to 18,000 and change back in March. And it's a fabulous recovery. You know, there's just no two ways about it.
Because of the peaceful transfer of power, because of the ongoing good vaccine news, huh?
Yep. Now four different vaccines have had very positive results, 90-plus percent as far as those vaccines. And then you've got a financial vaccine with Janet Yellen, who is a very highly respected and very dovish Fed chairman, now nominated by Joe Biden to be the Treasury Secretary. So a Treasury Secretary that was already dovish and in good standing with the Federal Reserve, of course, that can't hurt as far as keeping rates lower for longer. And I think that, as much as anything, along with the vaccines, is why we're seeing the lift in the markets, Joe.
So that's what dovish means there? John,
I missed that last part.
Sure, sure. You said dovish, and I wasn't sure how that applies to the policies of the new Treasury Secretary. Dovish meaning that she'll also lobby to keep interest rates low, huh?
Yes, I believe she will. She'll lobby to keep interest rates low, and she will also work with the Federal Reserve. As you saw, there was a little, I don't want to say it was a huge fight, but there was an issue between Secretary Mnuchin and Jay Powell just in the last few days. And it is unlikely that Janet Yellen will be pushing back in any similar fashion. So I think that's a positive for the markets as well.
Yeah, I suppose, and this may sound pie in the sky, but if there's at least some cohesion, both in the transfer of power and if you have a cohesive administration, I mean, they'll all still be in the midst of their honeymoon, but at least you get the feeling that the federal government might be rowing in the same direction. The Senate, notwithstanding, at least will have sort of a clearer picture with a new set of guidelines. You're the one that always says the market hates uncertainty. At least we'll have some certainty with who we've got and what we're getting.
Exactly. And I still wish they would have taken what now seems to be like a much bigger package back in August than the package that is likely to be passed by the Senate and signed down by new President-elect Biden, and that is the fiscal package that you and I have discussed. I think we will see one, but it is likely to be maybe half the size that it was back in August. And that's a damn shame for 22 million Americans that desperately needed it.
Yeah. Dow's up 491, NASDAQ up 140, S&P up 58 right now. Record numbers, obviously, on the Dow. I don't have exactly where it sits, but I just saw 495 plus. Well, what is this? You are long on, and then I've got a bunch of stock ticker symbols here. What are you talking about?
Those are all the reopening stocks. So when we talk about those are stocks that really needed a vaccine to get going to the upside, and now they are. And those returns, obviously, Boeing is not just driven by the reopening, but also by the 737 MAX coming back into service. But then you look at the rest of that list, and it's American Airlines, it is Las Vegas Sands, it is a whole bunch of stocks like Host Marriott, used to be called Host Marriott, now it's just Host. There are so many of the hotel stocks that had no chance of coming back until we had a little more of that certainty that we talk about in terms of delivery of the vaccine. Now it seems we might even start getting delivery of that vaccine as early as the second week in December. So that's great news, and in particular, great news for those corporations who depend on us being face-to-face rather than just virtual.
So you said, I'm just looking at your list, American Airlines up 15% in the month. Host Marriott, Host, 27% positive in the month. LVS, that's Las Vegas Sands, that would be a tourist destination, up 14% in the month. BA, that's, which one is BA?
Boeing
Airlines, hello, is up 31%. CCL, what's CCL?
Carnival Cruise Lines, who would have thought, right? Yeah. And that one's up 28%, I think.
29, yeah.
In the last month, 29 in the last month. I mean, the cruise lines in February were dead. They were single digits, many of them. And now making big outsized comeback on the hopes that more of us will not only get the vaccine, but that it'll help their business get back on track.
John Najarian is the founder of MarketRebellion.com, financial news, education, subscription site. Nice to talk to you today, John. I'll let you go. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, John.
And, happy holidays. Yeah, I think I cut you off there as you were saying happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir. It's 12:16 on WGN. Wintrust Business Lunch. Elise Glink joins us now, the real estate and financial wellness expert. Hi, Elise. Welcome back.
Hey, John. Nice to be here.
Want to talk a little bit about real estate and housing prices?
Yeah, it's not just the market that's going to record levels. Housing prices are now way above where they were at the last height before the last recession back in 2006. So the new Case-Shiller, S&P Case-Shiller report is out. Home prices are up 6.2% year over year, and even in Chicago, they're up 4% from last year.
That's interesting because I thought that in the city, a city like Chicago would be suffering because everybody was trying to get out of the city.
Well, it's interesting. What we're seeing is that just a record number of people want to move. So they're moving to all kinds of places. If they're renting, they want to move to a condo. If they can't afford, let's say, a single family house, if they're in a condo, they want to move to the suburbs and get more space. And sometimes if they're in the suburbs, they're moving way out to rural America.
I'm glad you put it that way, though, because I do know people who have bought homes or condos recently in the city of Chicago, in the neighborhoods, and it was very, very, very competitive. You know, you had to make an offer right now. It had to be at ask. You may have had to pay over ask. And that sort of flew in the face of this idea that everybody was running away from the city. You just said, no, people are just moving, maybe from an apartment, renting all along, to for the first time owning. And that could be a city-to-city move, right?
That could be. And the kinds of things that we're seeing drive these decisions are whether schools are in-person or virtual. Right now in Illinois, they're basically all virtual.
Yeah.
But that's been a driving force. We're seeing people who want more space. They just want to have some outdoor space of their own that they can sit in and feel the weather, even on a day like today. So there's different things that have been driving this, but there is just an extreme amount of interest in moving right now, and you see it with the values jumping.
Reminds me of that game we played in school. What's the one where the music plays and everybody walks around the chairs?
Musical chairs.
This reminds me of musical chairs. Everybody was sitting on their houses and their condos and their apartments. And then the pandemic hit, and this summer and fall, everybody got up and started walking around. And then they all, plop, sit down someplace else. Maybe you in the condo that I just left to go into the suburbs, but you from a rental in the city to my condo in the city. But everybody sort of changed chairs in the last, like, few months.
Yeah, it's been very interesting to watch how this is all, you know, happening. In the beginning, nobody wanted to live in their condos and they wanted to all move to the suburbs. But what we've seen is that as people have been rehired, they're leaving their family homes and moving into those rental apartments. The renters are moving up. It's really very traditional. It's just all really compressed. And we're seeing it at a time of year where everything is a little bit off cycle this year. I think we've seen it in the car industry as well when automobile manufacturers shut down. And now when you would normally see big sales at the end of the year, you're not going to see them because there's this pent-up demand. The same thing happened with real estate, where the spring market didn't start to happen until really the summer, and it just seems to continue going strong.
And so you're right about how our schedules just seem to be a little off kilter. The fact that the NBA is trying to jumpstart a new season strikes me as just recent, or soon. Like, wait, didn't we just finish the NBA and they're starting again? But everything just does seem to be a little off cycle. And by the way, I talked to the mayor of Rockford a little while ago, this morning, earlier on my show, Elise, and he was talking about how they have a program to give free tuition to students at Northern Illinois University who get a 3.0 GPA in the Rockford public school system. He said a driving consideration for that was that it improves real estate prices. It makes it more attractive to buy a home. He said, if you are a home seller in Rockford, you can tell the potential home buyer, you buy my house, your kid gets free tuition at Northern Illinois University. And they're funding that for 15-plus years. So it's a very interesting real estate play, isn't it?
It is. It's actually a miniature version of what's been going on in Georgia for at least the last 20 years. So Georgia, the state of Georgia, has a plan that if you get a B or above grade, you're going to get free tuition to one of the Georgia universities. And Georgia universities have become very, very competitive. Oh, it's Georgia Tech is competitive, the University of Georgia is competitive, and it isn't just their sports teams. The academics have as well. What this has done on a larger scale, John, it's so brilliant, actually, because it has kept really smart kids in the state. Their parents have an interest in keeping them close by, keeps them there, sends them to school. They then get jobs in the companies that are being born there, or they're starting companies there. And what it's done is helped Georgia turn into a powerhouse for technology. And it's a model that I think every state in the country should copy.
Yeah. Cities could do it, too. I don't know that Chicago could afford that, but Kalamazoo, Michigan has a very generous program that way, too. They don't pay for room and board, but they do pay tuition. And at Northern Illinois University, and this cooperative arrangement between the city and the school, it's $15,000 to $18,000 a year you don't pay. You got two kids, that's $36,000 a year that if they're college age and want to go to Northern, get a B, you don't have to come up with. That's compelling.
It's very meaningful, and it's really, to your point, it's great for real estate. It's also great for keeping people in state, growing businesses here. It's great for business, great for communities. I like it all over. Hey, John, before we run out of time, I do want to let everybody know, mortgage interest rates hit a 13th record low this year. They're now, it's 2.72%. on average for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. It's absolutely unheard of. And there's about 20 million people, or nearly half the number of people who have mortgages, who could probably save as much as $300. Actually, that's an average of $300 a month by refinancing. So if you haven't refinanced in a while, take a look and see if it's worth it for you.
It's funny because I just refinanced, and I think I got 2.86, so I guess I need to refinance again to get down to 2.72.
You're just fine.
Yes, I'm teasing about refinancing, but I did refi. I'm just not going to do it again right now. But a few hundred dollars a month, that's amazing. In fact, what was the number? They said if you're above like 3.5 or 4, you need to refi, which sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Well, I just got an email from one of our listeners whose mortgage was at 6%. And I sent a note back and I said, yes, you should refinance. And where have you been living with what head under what rock for the last 6 years?
Well, I think there's listen, our lives are filled with positive messages that we go, I know, but I'm not doing that right now. And a lot of us live a lot of our lives that way. And I also think this, because this was when that Hochberg fella called me and said, what's your rate? I thought, oh, God, do I got to find all those forms and do all of those things and e-sign this and read that? And I just, it sounded like such a nightmare, which is stupid, right? Because, dude, do the work. You'll save money. Hello. But I'm telling you, that was my first reaction, Elise, was I don't know if I have the patience or energy for this right now.
Well, and that's perfectly normal. This is such an extraordinary time, and we are overburdened by, you know, homeschooling kids and making sure that we're keeping our houses clean and we keep our jobs, or maybe we've lost our jobs. Right. There's just a lot of stress going on. But, you know, if you do have an interest rate above 3.5%, please take a look, because there are incredible deals out there that could literally save you tens of thousands of dollars over the next 10 years. And you can use that money for a whole lot of stuff.
I suspect there are people out there that feel like, boy, I'm missing a lot of opportunity here because I'm not a homeowner. I'm not in a position to buy. It must be frustrating for people to hear everybody clicking their heels. Hooray, 30,000 on the Dow and 2.8% on a mortgage, and they aren't participating in all of this. Is there any reporting, Elise, that landlords are discounting rent or holding rent even for their tenants? Because presumably the landlords might be able to take advantage of some of this.
You would think. There's a lot of noise, and we're going to have to watch very carefully what's happening, because there are about 20% of tenants who are not paying their rent or they're paying less than they should be paying. Landlords, especially mom-and-pop landlords, and by that I mean people who own maybe a few condos or a few townhouses and they are single-family houses and they rent it out, they're getting squeezed because their lender, you know, their lenders want their money. And so we're going to start to see this come to Jesus moment, if I can say it that way, because we're going to see those landlords squeezed to a place where they no longer can help the renters. But we do have some help from the city of Chicago for renters. There's some places that you can go online if you can't afford your rent. And I do think with the Biden administration coming in, if you can just hold on, there's going to be more help for renters early in the new year.
Elise Glink, Think Glink, we say. It's the real estate and financial wellness expert joining us. Her website is thinkglink.com. Thanks, Elise.
You bet, John.
1237, this is WGN. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're so used to, during the pandemic, goods and services being delivered or received in a different way, either virtually or somebody sends you your groceries. Lord knows that packages are being delivered where at times we would have otherwise gone to a store to buy them. But how about this? Plants delivered to your home. Plants. Andy Robledo is the founder of a company called Plants Delivered Chicago. PlantsDeliveredChicago.com is the website. In his promotional material, it says, "It's a dream to be able to drive around in my old Fords with my dog, Gerald, and be able to find beautiful plants to share with other people." What an interesting, what a lovely calling. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how are you today?
Good. So it's an online plant store, or do you have a brick-and-mortar location? Tell me about this.
So, you know, I call myself Chicago's local online plant shop. So I don't have a brick and mortar. I went straight digital. I go directly to the customer. So if you want a plant, tall or small, you can order it on my website and I'll deliver it to you within days. So it'll show up at your door. I deliver it by hand, with my little buddy Gerald. So we go everywhere together. So yeah, anything, you know, tiny gift giving for the holidays or something very tall for your living room, 6 foot tall, 7 foot tall.
Wow.
We've got you covered.
How long have you been doing this?
So I've been doing this. I founded the company exactly a year ago. It was right around Thanksgiving. So I've been doing it for a year now.
Has the pandemic been, I hate to put it this way, good for you or bad for you? Did you see a spike after March?
You know what? So, you know, before March, right around March, I had, you know, my old trucks, obviously, that I was delivering in. And I saw a little bit of a pickup, and then word kind of got around, and it took off about a month afterwards. So things got very, very busy as the focus shifted to delivery. And I was already doing, you know, full-scale delivery before the pandemic. So I think I was prepared. I was ahead of the curve in that respect by being digital and delivering already. There has been a spike, and it's been consistently busy. So it's been busy, and we're seeing a busy trend here going into the holidays. So,
well, maybe people are buying, like you said, gifts now. Maybe they'll buy poinsettias through the holidays. But what kind of orders have you generally been getting? Is it fresh flowers in a vase, or is it a potted plant? What are people getting from you?
So most people are getting potted plants from me. So whether it's a small plant to give to a friend for a birthday, wedding gift, housewarming, Or, you know, people just want to make their spaces green and beautiful around this time, so they're bringing in, you know, 6 foot tall trees to their home and big plants. So it's been a good mix. It's a nice balance between big stuff and small stuff, but I'd say there's no one in Chicago that delivers more tall plants than we do.
Well, there's your business card. No one in Chicago delivers more tall plants. But I guess maybe that distinguishes you from what I would consider a normal telefloral operation, where I'd get a small plant, maybe something with a bow or a ribbon on it. You're kind of an interior landscaper, aren't you?
So it's a little bit different. You know, we do offer interior landscaping services for some of our customers, but you know, yeah, there are a lot of companies out there that are purely online and ship things in the mail, so ship smaller plants in the mail. And there are a lot of brick-and-mortar shops and, you know, places that offer small-scale delivery for small things. And I saw an opportunity. I saw a kind of a gap in the market. There wasn't a service where you could get a big, healthy, living room-ready plant delivered right to your door.
So give me the names of the kinds of plants, like a Scheffalera, or what are we looking at here?
Yeah, so, you know, fiddly fig trees are probably the most popular. We have those in bush format. Bird of paradise, that's another beautiful 6 foot tall tree. You know, we do a lot of Dracaena varieties. Those have been popular as well because they're lower maintenance. You know, larger format ZZ plants, you know, snake plants, monsteras. So those are some of the most popular large varieties.
Yeah. Do you and Gerald deliver just in the city? What's your delivery area?
So we service the city of Chicago with free delivery. And then the Chicago suburbs, there's a flat rate $25 delivery charge. But once you order $200 or more, delivery is free to the suburbs. Hmm. And we have a lot of customers that have homes in Northwest Indiana, so we'll service Northwest Indiana as well.
Wow. Is it just you?
If we can drive there, we're going to go. So.
Is it just you and the dog, or do you have a team of people doing the deliveries now?
So right now it's Gerald and I. We had a team right at the beginning of the pandemic. You know, so things have just been shifting. And, you know, right now I've streamlined operations with the technology I have in place for delivery that I'm able to handle the workload right now. So it's anywhere from, you know, 15 to 25 deliveries a day. But we're going to be looking to bring on a driver and maybe an assistant soon.
Well, don't tell Gerald if that includes another dog. I kind of get the feeling that might hurt his feelings.
Well, I've got my eye on another healer out there from one tail at a time. So, you know, we'll see. There might be another blue healer coming into his life.
I'm sorry.
He doesn't know about yet.
Healer, is that that's the breed of the dog, healers?
That's the breed, yeah, healers. Gerald is a blue healer or an Australian cattle dog.
Huh. PlantsDeliveredChicago.com. PlantsDeliveredChicago.com. Andy, what a clever idea. Good luck to you and your growing team.
Yeah, thank you so much, John.
Andy Robledo is the founder of, in fact, he's the entire company right now. Good for him. PlantsDeliveredChicago.com. 1243. Okay, this is the Wintrust Business Lunch. More business news now. This is Steve Ruxton.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Nearly 700 nursing home workers are on strike at 11 facilities in Illinois. They're seeking higher pay and greater protections from the COVID-19 pandemic. Certified nursing assistants, housekeepers, and other workers reportedly failed to reach a contract agreement with the owner of Infinity Healthcare Management of Illinois. The Tribune reporting that HelloFresh, the world's largest meal kit company, has agreed to pay $277 million to acquire Batavia-based Factor 75. That company specializes in health-focused ready-to-eat meals. Crane's reporting that Kemper is buying Downers Grove-based auto insurer American Access Casualty Company for $370 million. AAC provides non-standard insurance or coverage for those with no insurance history or who are at higher risk. I'm Steve Ruxton, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
On the Wintrust Business Lunch, Amy Guth joins us again to let's follow some news now about the airlines. Also about Best Buy. Maybe we'll start with Best Buy today. Amy, what are you looking at there?
Yeah, this is. I thought this was very interesting. There's so much, I think, sometimes gloomy news that we see of
retailers really struggling. Best Buy is one, though. They have exceeded Wall Street expectations in their third quarter earnings report, and some of the numbers are really compelling. We saw a little bit of this from the last quarter, but that carried through in the third quarter. But again, it comes with a bit of a caveat. So they said their third quarter profits rose 33%, while sales were up 21%. In-person store sales rose 23%, while online sales in the U.S. were up 174%, which is a really staggering number. But shares did fall in morning trading today, as Best Buy warned that sales could be down a little bit later this in the quarter and into the following quarter as they see the number of virus cases continue to rise. So they're worried that, hey, you know, just because a lot of people are outfitting their homes, or, you know, getting maybe now's the time to get a bigger TV since we're all staying home, buying more electronics, things like that. To some degree, people have bought them. And then also, as we see more economic news coming, they warn that perhaps that's not going to continue. Maybe some of the shopping has already been done, but also maybe more people will be reluctant to do shopping with uncertainty ahead. So good news, bad news for them. But when you see that numbers like 174% up on online sales, you really, really, really kind of helps lock in place this how the pandemic has accelerated a trend that was already happening. We were already seeing a lot of people shift to online shopping, but it really has moved people in that direction in a bold way.
And they're like a lot of other big box retailers, Walmart, Target, Home Depot, having good quarters, good fiscal reports, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. A lot of those kind of places, like big box especially, fared pretty well, because people were aiming to reduce the number of places they went to, you know, and things like a Walmart or a Target. You can go and pick up a lot, you know, you can get pants and you can also get groceries. You can get a lot of different things there, including electronics and things you can get at Best Buy. So we saw big box stores performing pretty well, especially ones that had a grocery component like Target and Walmart, things like that. But interesting to see Best Buy, I think, you know, they, as they were describing it and as they have talked about it, it seems a lot of the same that we saw from things like Home Depot and Lowe's and Menards, things like that, of people going, okay, I'm going to be at home now. I better make it nice. I better work on that project I've been putting off. Now I have time to do it because it's staring at me in the face.
Speaking of groceries, HelloFresh is in the news. Why don't you catch us up on that?
Yeah, this is big news for the Chicago area. So they're getting their first Chicago area kind of foothold. They have acquired a startup that's based in Batavia called Factor 75. And they plan to open a new facility in Aurora. This deal is worth $277 million. About $177 million of that is payable on closing, and the rest of it is based on performance. So remains to be seen if that full $277 million comes through, but all signs point to that. And, you know, what I think is noteworthy about this is that Factor 75, they do something similar. It's a meal kit. You can customize it if you're, say, paleo or whatever your dietary needs are. You can kind of follow specific diets. But they, by this deal, they have joined kind of this growing list of acquisition targets in the food space that have happened in Chicago. RX Bar, Kellogg picked that up for $600 million in 2017. In 2018, Kroger bought Home Chef for a deal upwards of, you know, $700 million. Factor 75 was founded in 2013. It's been around for a little while. And so this partnership means a couple of things. It means that, you know, HelloFresh, which is a German company, they're in 14 countries. They have a hold here now in Chicago, but also for Factor 75, who does these kind of special prepackaged meals. They're saying, hey, this is really going to accelerate growth that we've been wanting to do. So that's, you know, big news for Chicago food startup.
This is the home meal delivery kits, right? So, and okay. I would imagine where we all are right now, that's probably a pretty good space to be in.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And, you know, some groceries had kind of been sniffing around companies like this for a little while. I mentioned that Home Chef had been picked up by Kroger. Grocery stores kind of wanted this because they realized, hey, we're going to lose market share. If people are just going to order the meals ready to roll, they're going to come to the grocery store. So I predict we might see a little more of what Kroger did from other grocery store chains. We see it. You know, there's some grab-and-go items in just about every grocery store. But I think for kind of ways to make it easy to be at home and not go to restaurants, like this kind of product, I think is a really special time for it.
WGN Radio News in just a couple of minutes. The Dow is trading up 433 points at 30,000. 024 right now. American Airlines, however, is still forecasting gloom, isn't it?
That's right. So the International Air Transportation Association said earlier they predicted carriers could lose a combined $157 billion with a B this year and next, which what is not only that's a staggering number, but what's also noteworthy about it is that is 60% more than it had forecasted this summer and five times the deficit that was that was created during the 2008-2009 recession. I mean, when you really start looking at that number, you and I have talked a lot about airlines and some of the hard choices they're making right now. But this is the organization that, you know, a lot of different carriers are part of around the world. So they're looking kind of at this global perspective. And they're really saying, hey, you know, until that vaccine is out and people have confidence in traveling, mm-hmm. that they're kind of treating as two separate things, this is going to be a long way off. So they've echoed what a lot of other leaders have said. And they said, we're really not counting on seeing those numbers starting to come back until 2024, which is really, really significant for the airline industry.
Wow. And I was just thinking that. I mean, that vaccine can't come fast enough for the airline industry. I know their stocks have been going up a little bit today, but 2024 is not 2021. Amy Guth reporting on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks, John.